Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
How remarkable is our music program that they have put this much time and effort into an entirety of a sermon series and then concluded with this. So thank you to all of our musicians. It's a ton of work. And the focus for me as I've been preparing for this has been, it was sort of near the end, but not entirely at the end of the song, where it follows the melody of On My Own, but it's Jean Valjean singing as he nears the end of his life. And then, of course, that line that concluded that piece before they went in to do the people sing, the line was, "To love another person is to see the face of God." That is deep and powerful theology. And it occurs, as I said, in a time in the musical when Jean Valjean is breathing his last. He is in Cosette's arms. Cosette, who is his sort of adopted daughter. He's in Cosette's arms. She is grieving at the loss of this father figure, the only father figure she's ever known. She's grieving. And, you know, very often when we understand a story, when we understand a movie or a book, a set of characters, sometimes we identify with a character at a particular time, and I identify with Cosette in that time. Because as difficult as it has been, as difficult as it is to celebrate Mother's Day for me, because I have been one who has lost a parent. And I confess to you that as we celebrate Mother's Day today, as we honor Mother's Day today, see, I have a hard time saying celebrate Mother's Day, because I was 12 when she died, and it still affects me. And in fact, one of the things that I found is sometimes it feels like it affects me at different levels at different times. And about 2.5 years ago, I wrote something down. I wrote a blog post because I woke up that morning, and it was just any other September day until I got a text from my sister reminding me that that was 30 years. And it was an unexpectedly emotional time. And I want to read this to you that I wrote back in September of 2015. It reads in this way. I don't think I've read this to you before. If I have, go with me on this. I honestly never pictured myself as a 30-year-old. Mostly because when I was young, 30 seemed really old. And when I was actually 30 and beyond, I still didn't feel old enough to be that. And so to realize that it's been 30 years is mind-blowing and awkward and tragic and startling. Again and still. This day marks 30 years since she died. And honestly, I didn't remember that when I woke up today. Not only have I lived longer without her than with her, but I've lived a longer life than she did. And today is unexpectedly emotional. It seems both intensely fresh and a lifetime ago that I was in junior high school hearing the news that my mother had died. I remember my father's tears, my own tears, and the blur of days to follow. And now my own son is only a year younger than I was on that day. I remember all the times I would expect to see her and then I didn't. I remember the times I would expect to hear her voice and then I didn't. And I remember the day I realized that my primary memories are of her photographs and old VHS tapes because I can't quite see her face in my mind without those aids. And then the guilt, because a kid should remember his mom. But the parts that are truly her that I remember have to do with her presence, her love, her laugh, her music. I learned not long ago about her intense love for college football, even to the point of listening to a game in her hospital room right after delivering one of her children. I learned of the family scandal that resulted in her following some actor halfway across the country convinced that she'd marry him. And she did. And she had two beautiful daughters and maybe an obnoxious older brother. And here is where I focus. The fullness of her love, the compassion of her heart, the deepness of her faith, the music of her voice, and the love of her entire being. And hers is a love that remains. And so I hold Mother's Day in this sort of tension of my own grief, but also my deep love for my spouse, who is such an amazing mom, who is such a generous spirit, and who herself doesn't always get to celebrate a Mother's Day that many others do, because I just have trouble. But one of the things that I find peace in, one of the ways that I find peace, one of the things that brings me comfort is the idea that maybe this isn't an end. Maybe when Cosette is holding Jean Valjean in her arms, maybe as a child who has lost a parent, maybe others who have experienced loss can understand that loss doesn't mean ending. At least it doesn't have to. And I'd like to illustrate this with our sacred scripture. You know, today, if you're familiar with Christian calendars, is also the day that we talk about Ascension Sunday, the day that after Jesus was resurrected, he ascends into heaven. And there are some things that take place in this scripture as the apostles are watching Jesus rise into the clouds. There are some things that happen that might help us to see the possibility that endings aren't always endings. So I'd like to ask Hope to read. This is out of the first chapter of the book of Acts.
After his suffering, he showed them that he was alive with many convincing proofs. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, speaking to them about God's kingdom. While they were eating together, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. He said, "This is what you heard from me. John baptized with water, but in only a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." As a result, those who had gathered together asked Jesus, "Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now?" Jesus replied, "It isn't for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has set by his own authority. Rather, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." After Jesus said these things, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going away, and as they were staring toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood next to them. They said, "Galileans, why are you standing here looking toward heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way that you saw him go into heaven."
If you're familiar with the authors of the Gospels, you may remember that the author of the book of Acts is the same as the author of the Gospel of Luke. When I was in seminary, my professors would always lump them together and call them Luke-Acts because they're from the same author. It's interesting that the beginning of each book, Luke and Acts, is addressed to a particular person. It's addressed to Theophilus. And if you know Greek, you might know that that means lover of God. So it's addressed to us. In both books, they're addressed to Theophilus. You may have noticed that we read from the first chapter, but we didn't start until verse 3. The only part we skipped is that it's addressed to Theophilus, lover of God. It's addressed to us. Now, the reason I point out that parallel is because there are some other parallels. You may have noticed in the scripture how after Jesus is raised up into the clouds, that suddenly there are two men standing wearing all white. You may also remember that sometimes we celebrate Transfiguration Sunday. Transfiguration Sunday is when James and John and Peter and Jesus all go up onto a mountain, and then suddenly there are two other figures there, and they're wearing white. The way Luke describes it is it's a bright white. There are two other figures with Jesus. And you know who it is? Do you remember? It's Moses and Elijah. It's two figures with Jesus, sort of talking about, depending on translation, talking about what's to come. One translation reads talking about Jesus' exodus. That's an interesting choice of words. They're talking about what will come next. These two figures in white. Now, two figures in white show up somewhere else too. You may remember in Luke's telling of the resurrection story, when it is discovered that Jesus is not in the tomb, who is it who says where Jesus has gone? First asking the question, why do you look for the living among the dead? And then he has gone, he has been raised from the dead. Who is it who says this to those who first discover the open tomb, the empty tomb in the Gospel of Luke? It is two figures in white. I begin to think about these two figures in white. In every case, is it Moses and Elijah? I don't know. It's interesting. There are scholars who would say that the transfiguration, the part of why it's important is Moses and Elijah represent the law and the prophets. But also, some scholars will say that Moses and Elijah were both people who didn't die on earth but were raised up into heaven. Now, I preached that back in 2015 on the Transfiguration, and then I had to issue a correction in the way the sermon is posted on the website, because in Deuteronomy it seems to say that Moses was died and was buried. But there are ancient Talmudic writings that say, no. Moses indeed did not die, but was raised in a cloud. There's an ancient writing from Josephus who echoes the same tradition. I don't know the answer, but it's interesting to think about how these two figures might have us understand the transition a little bit differently and bring us comfort when we might be facing a challenging transition, whether that's a loss of life, whether that's the ending of a relationship, whether that's a challenge in work, or many other ways that we can experience challenge. One of the ways that I find comfort is that these two figures seem to represent, at least to me, that an end is not an end. When Moses died or was lifted up, or however that worked out, there was the possibility for leadership to be transferred to someone else. That his mantle of leadership could be passed on in such a way that perhaps it couldn't if he was not still there. When Elijah was raised up to heaven on the fiery chariot, do you remember what the agreement was with Elisha? Elisha said, please, let me have double your spirit. And Elijah said, well, if you can see me as I'm lifted up into the clouds, then you will have what you ask for. And Elisha watches as Elijah is put on this chariot and taken up into the clouds and sees. See, Elijah's departure enables Elisha's leadership. And so we might see that as Jesus is raised up into the clouds, that it leaves room for new leadership, and we might imagine that following Jesus' promise of the presence of the Holy Spirit, empowering the disciples to be, how do we say it, the hands and feet of Christ. As we think of Jean Valjean coming to the end of his life, think about what he has taught. What he has taught to Cosette, what he has taught to Marius, what he has taught even to others who have been in the community, that love always wins. That to love another person is to see the face of God. My friends, sometimes we experience endings that break our hearts. Sometimes days come up that make those transitions, those endings fresh for us. And yet we might look for the presence and power of that Spirit that continues to enrich us, to nourish us, to strengthen us, to remind us of love, to remind us of peace, to remind us of hope, to remind us that there is a Spirit that indeed continues to fill us to overflowing, and that reminds us that we continue to be connected with a God who always strengthens and always loves. My friends, on this Mother's Day, on this day that we conclude this sermon series on Les Mis, let us always remember that in the deep and profound relationships that we experience now, that we have experienced, that when we have shown that kind of love, when we have experienced that love, when we have received that love, when we have known that love, that we see the face of God. Let us continue to live into God's profound love. Amen. invite you to join me in the spirit of prayer. Holy and gracious God, God who has given, God who has experienced our own grief with us, God who strengthens us, God who calls us. We seek to experience your presence this day. This day as we honor Mother's Day, as we honor mothers and grandmothers, maternal figures, and also as we honor those for whom this day is not a day of celebration, with the faith that in all of these times, that in all of these circumstances, you honor all of us this day. Help us, O God, as we continue to seek your love and your grace, to live into love as fully as you would have us live into it, so that in all of these ways we might know you more fully, that we might be transformed by you, and that we may continue in building your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. God, we lift up this prayer in any circumstances that are left unsaid as we join together in the prayer taught to us by your Son, our Christ, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.